Obaka contributed a long rumble, explaining that while Thurut's entire purpose of existence seemed to be imprisoning Avaloth, they needed the ones to guide their efforts. From what he and Tekle had surmised, the son and the daughter agreed on only one thing, that it angered them to see Avaloth destroy civilizations they'd spent millennia cultivating in their own image. Eventually, the pair would form a pact and emerge from seclusion to stop her, and Thurut expected to spend the next century or so building up its numbers so the Hive would be ready when it was called into service.
"So it's really the ones who imprisoned Avaloth the last time?" Kyle asked. "And also created Centerpoint Station?"
"That is how the Killix remember it,"
Tekle said.
"But only the son and the daughter are involved. They seem to take more of an interest in the state of the galaxy than the father."
"Took, I'm afraid," Luke said. "If Thurut can't imprison Avaloth without the son and the daughter, the Hive will be waiting a lot longer than a century for a call to service."
Tekle's nose twitched in confusion.
"Then you have heard of the Ones, Master Skywalker?"
"Not by that name," Luke replied. "But when Yoda was training me in the swamps of Dagobah, he told me about a strange mission that Obi-Wan and my father had undertaken during the Clone Wars. Apparently, they were drawn to a free-floating artifact called the Mortis Monolith and transported to a world very much like the one depicted in the histories of Thurut."
"You're saying that they met the Ones?" Kip asked. "Are you sure?" Luke shot him an impatient look.
"It's very hard to be sure of anything involving the Celestials, Master Durin," he said. "But yes, I do believe the trio Yoda described were the Ones."
"And?" Kip demanded.
"At the time, I thought he was just making up a story, trying to make a point about not refusing my destiny."
Luke paused, then said,
"But now..."
"You think he may have glimpsed something into your future?" Kyle said. "Something to do with Avaloth?"
Luke shrugged.
"That might be a stretch," he said. "But Yoda must have sensed that I would need to know about Mortis someday."
"So are you going to tell us what Master Yoda said?" Jaina asked. She couldn't contain herself, and she wasn't the only one. Every Jedi in the room was leaning toward Luke.
"I mean, that is the reason you mentioned it, isn't it?"
Luke nodded.
"Of course," he said. "But there isn't a lot to tell. In Yoda's story, Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker encountered the father when he was dying. The son and the daughter were at odds because the son wanted to take the father's place. The father told Anakin that he had been chosen to assume the father's place and keep the balance between the two siblings. When Anakin refused, matters came to a head. The Ones fought, all three were slain, and their world died with them."
"And you didn't think that was important?" Corin asked.
"I didn't know Yoda was talking about the Ones," Luke said, a bit defensively. "Or even what the Ones were."
"It does sound more like a parable than an action report," Kyle agreed. "I'm sure I would have assumed the same thing."
"Are we sure it isn't just a parable?" Kip asked. He looked at Tekle and Lobaka.
"No offense, but we all know how muddled the Killix sense of history is."
Saba slapped both palms on the table.
"This one is certain. It explains too much. Why there is so much darkness and change in the galaxy. Why war comes so often and nothing stays certain."
She glanced around the table, meeting the gaze of each master in turn, then said,
"The Force has no balance."
Jaina nodded, then said, "And it also explains what Avaloth wants with Ben."